Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y también el satélite.
Good afternoon to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and also to the satellite Eutelsat 8 and also through the internet in different countries. And warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin and to all the ministers and to all the brethren today, Friday, January 26th of this year 2024. Our subject for this occasion, which we will be seeing and listening to, is Jesus Christ preaching in the fifth dimension, preached on April 4th, 2015 in Cali, Colombia, and he read the scripture of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. And he tells us, in the book of Jude, which is the book that comes before Revelation, it only has one chapter. On verse 5, it tells us, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first state, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. They're in a place, he says that they are ministers without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plunk up by the root, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, notice in this scripture where he tells us there about that judgment which is to come. Jesus preaching in the fifth dimension. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, Jesus Christ, for this subject, Jesus Christ preaching in the fifth dimension, he tells us in the message, the sign of the end of the world, it says. And now we have the elect that formed the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have the elect of the Hebrew people, which are 12,000 of each tribe. And since both are elect, the ministry the Son of Man will send, the ministry of the angels with the great voice of the trumpet, will impact the elect of Christianity and the elect of Judaism. And the appearance of those ministries, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, being manifested first in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ, and then in the midst of the Hebrew people, will be the sign of the end of the world. It will be the sign of the end. After that ministry, or those ministries, everything will end for the human race. For some, it will all end with the Great Tribulation, but for others, after the Great Tribulation, the millennial kingdom of the Messiah will be established on earth. He tells us in the book of quotations on page 115, on paragraph 1015, he tells us, because remember that there Brother William is showing us that at the end of that ministry, remember that the seventh seal has a beginning and it has an end. And in the book of the seals, he compares it with a rocket being launched. And at the end, notice when he says there, after he makes those explosions, he says, then he fades on out. Let us search it. That is in the book of the seals, in the message, the seventh seal. On page 553, it says, at the end of this seventh seal, and he writes, spare time, Moses and Elijah. What is the seventh seal? Moses and Elijah, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. There is where he writes, at the end of the half hour of silence, at the end of the seventh seal, is the end of everything. It's the end of the vials, and even end the ushering in of the millennium. And he writes, introduction. That's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket into the air, and that rocket explodes here, and it goes up, and then explodes again. It puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes, and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes and blow out five stars from it. See, it fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It ends the times for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even the time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. And he writes, introduction. Notice how that seventh seal, at the end of the seventh seal, is the end of everything. In other words, of everything that the kingdom of the Gentiles had the human race in prison. In other words, since at the end, for some, as Brother William tells us there, for some it will all end with a great tribulation. But for others, in other words, for the elect and the 144,000, the millennial kingdom of the Messiah will be established. In other words, everything will end for the world when it is receiving those divine judgments, that then it will be the final part of the stage of the feet of iron and clay, of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. In that final stage, then it will be the stage where everything will be broken to pieces. The iron, the bronze, the silver, the head of gold. In other words, that whole image, all that kingdom will fall. But notice that at the end, for the elect of God, they will be then entering into that kingdom, which will be established on this planet Earth, called the kingdom of the Messiah, the kingdom of David, of the Son of David. Now, how will those ministries end? Because at the end of those ministries, notice they're in a place, our Brother Branham here shows us on this page 115, which is the one we are going to read. Page 115, paragraph 10-15, it says, "So I've always thought that would be my state someday. It's almost happened several times, as you know, of being shot in foreign nations when they have to hold their bodies over me, keep me from being shot at a distance." Now remember the dream that the sister had, of which in the message, souls that are in prison now, tells us on page 34, it says, "Some sister just had a dream. She sent it to me, said, 'I seen them. That church fixed a way. It's going to kill me secretly. Sometime I'm getting out of my car, going in, be fired from.' But said, then the Spirit said, 'Not at this time.'" And he writes, "Fort Elijah. But it'll come later." And there he writes, "Moses and Elijah. And on the side he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And at the top he writes, 'The death of the fifth Elijah and the second Moses.' And below the scripture, Revelation 11:3-15. And 17:8. And 19:11-21. And in this same message, the same one of souls that are in prison now, but in this other booklet, there he writes, they will kill Elijah. And there he writes on the front part, he says, speaking against the beast and his image will cost Elijah his life. Now notice that the mark of the beast, well, it is that ecumenical council. And you may notice how everything that is being spoken at this end time was already prophesied regarding what the end of that seventh seal would be, which we saw in the book of the seals, which we read there at the end of this seventh seal. What is the seventh seal? Moses and Elijah. See? That it has a beginning and it has an end. Like the beginning and the end of the seventh seal in his first coming. He was born there in a manger. See? he had a birth, of which he tells us here in this book of the seals on page 562. It says, the other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, be humbled, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about. And now I see it. It is in such a humble way. You might think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican. And he writes there in the Pope. But it comes, and he writes with Moses and Elijah, just like John the Baptist, it comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God. So help me, the hour is at hand. Amen. We're here, oh my. And our brother William continues saying here, and now Israel is waiting for something prophetic, and it is Elijah and the Messiah. They are waiting for the two olive trees, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and they are waiting for the Messiah. And Messiah means the Christ, the Anointed One. They are waiting for the one anointed with the Spirit of God. And when they see him and the time comes, when God opens their understanding and they see him, they will say, this is the one we are waiting for. Now, notice here it says that he will come and that he will announce peace for all humanity with the arrival of the Messiah. Therefore, he will announce the Passover that will come with the arrival of the Messiah. And in the reading we had from the book, The Religion of Israel, it says that he will announce the everlasting peace, of which he read here in this book, The Religion of Israel. It says, page 73, when the time comes for the kingdom of Israelite faith, God will send his prophet Elijah, who will unite the heart of the fathers to the heart of the children, and the heart of their children to the heart of their fathers, and thus proclaim the universal everlasting peace. This is the true forerunner of the Jewish Messiah, the angel of union and concord in the world. Now notice, this is what he read, which is referring here, which he had read in that same message before. And our brother William keeps saying, it is that under the new covenant, under the covenant that will be in the divine program and in the kingdom of the Messiah, under that new covenant is where the peace will be for Israel. Therefore, he will announce the Passover to them. He will announce to them peace. And therefore, he will announce the covenant to them, the new covenant, and all things that are there. And he will also be sounding the great trumpet. That is why the great voice of trumpet pertains to the Spirit of God through the ministry of Elijah. That is the trumpet of the Feast of the Trumpets, which takes place on the first day of the seventh month. In other words, a number of promises that are typified or represented in the different feasts of Israel will be getting fulfilled. Under the message that will be brought, the judgment that is to come will be announced, the judgment for individuals and the judgment for nations. Remember that the judgment begins at the house. Now, he continues saying, and that will be by preaching the day of vengeance of our God, which Jesus did not preach, but instead he stopped when he was reading Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and on. When he came to the place where it says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he did not continue. There was a comma there. He stopped. And notice, in the prophetic aspect, the period and the comma do not lose their meaning. A period nor a comma will pass away. In the book of quotations on page 23, It tells us on paragraph 186, it says, she ran into the city and she said, come, see a man that told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the Messiah? And he never did that one time to a Gentile. Why? He left it till this day. That's what he said here. In the days when the Son of Man shall reveal himself from heaven. And he writes in Elijah, he's revealing himself now to the church for mercy. The next time he reveals himself, and he writes in Moses and Elijah, the next time he reveals himself, it is in destruction to those who has rejected the message. And there he writes Elijah and Moses again. And above he writes, the Son of Man reveals himself twice. Of which, on page 22, on that paragraph 183, there he tells us about that manifestation of the Son of Man, which was in mercy, which was in the Reverend William Branham. And it says that later on, there is, he says there, a manifestation, another manifestation of the Son of Man, but then in judgment, of which Brother William speaks to us about in different messages. And he places Brother Branham in that manifestation of the Son of Man in mercy. And he says that there will be another manifestation of the Son of Man in judgment. Now, in none of the messengers, that manifestation in judgment did not take place. Except at this end time, because they were still living under the dispensation of grace in mercy. And the next time, well, it would be in a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, our Brother William continues saying, and a comma there, see, in that pause there was that comma that was there in the middle of the 70th week, there we already have 2,000 years. It has been 2,000 years or about 2,000 years since the year 30 or 33 after Christ. In the message, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven revealed to the elect, preached on December 16, 2006, our Brother William tells us, this was in Guatemala. It was Christ fulfilling what he promised for each age through that messenger. And in that spiritual movement that took place in each age, with the manifestation of the Spirit of Christ in each messenger, God fulfilled what he promised for each age, and the elect of each age were called and gathered together. And God never changes his way of doing things. For our time, there is a promised word that must be fulfilled. And as he did in past ages, both in the Old Testament as in the New Testament, and through the seven stages of the Gentile Church, so shall he do in our time. In the message, the voice of the sign, our Brother Branham tells us there, on page 7 of this booklet, he says, but ministers are always trying to refer back to what somebody else said, way back behind them, instead of what God said, do. We are climbing the tree of faith, see? Look at how beautiful that is. We are climbing the tree of faith. And God never changes his program. You can rest solemnly on what God says the first time. He ever has to stay with that. He cannot, and never did at any time, change it. Because if he does, then he is finite like we are. He makes mistakes, he has to apologize and go back. But he is the source of all wisdom, source of all power, infinite, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. See? He is just, he is God. If he isn't all those things, then he isn't God. But he has to be that to be God. Now, God never did use some man-made program to honor him, unless just put it to disgrace. God always uses a single individual, just one, never an organization, never a denomination. He uses one single person, because we different all one from another. There was never two major prophets on the earth at one time. Never. See? He doesn't do it, because he just speaks to that one. When that one is gone, he raises another to speak at that time. Remember, that's always been his program. Notice how clear the divine program is. And as he worked in past times, he must always work. If he takes that instrument away, then he rises up another one. I don't know from where they get that he has to bring back the one he took to continue or finish what he did not do. See? Because he says there that the ministers are always trying to refer back to what somebody else said way back in the past instead of what God said to do. He says that there. Because we are always going up, growing and growing. One can't go back. But instead what they do is search the scriptures to debate. He says that there in a message, in a part of the message, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. There is a part here where he says, on page 10, notice it says, let us see, where do we begin here? It says, that experience must tally with God's word. Yes, sir. If it isn't altogether hooked into the Bible, not just look over here and say, oh, yes, here it is right here. Bless God, I got it. That's not the way God gives it. It must be the entire Bible, all of it. Because you can, three dots, infidels use this Bible for their grounds to debate on. But they'll take a little scripture here, turn over here, and get another little one over here. Try to make them tie together, and it's two different subjects altogether. So, you got to make scripture compare with scripture. Notice, and there is a place also where he tells us on paragraph 68, further on in this same message, he says, he's speaking here about when he was a child. Notice this story. He tells us what he shows us here, he says, on paragraph 68, of Hebrews chapter 3. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to have a little pound out behind the place. And I'd go out there. And all of us, like kids, would go in, nude. Little, about 6-7 years old. And the water is about that deep. It wasn't no more than a hog wallow. And I had a soapbox there and showed I could dive, hold my nose, and splash, going like that. And my little belly would hit the mud, you know, and it would just fly everywhere. I told my dad I could swim. In other words, when they hold their nose with their hand and they think they're going to dive, and instead what they do is jump forward. And that is why he said that my little belly would hit the water there, which in this case was mud, and it would splash everywhere. And he continues saying, He took me back there, that is his father. He took me back there one day, he said, I want to see you swim. And I jump up there, you know, strip my clothes and little locust thicket and run down, hit the water, and begin splashing, the mud flying every way. And Pop was sitting on a culvert. He sat there and watched me for a few minutes, said, get out of that hole of water and get yourself a bath and get home. See? Well, that's just about the way some of us that call ourselves Christians, we mud crawl. That's right. Long as you're anchored, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, I am a Presbyterian, I got an evidence, I got it. You're mud crawling. One day, I was with my uncle. I kept telling him, he was about 15, 16 years old. He was at the river. I said, Uncle Lark, I can swim. And I was sitting on the back of the boat, you know, felt good and safe. He just took the oar and pushed me out in about 10 foot of water. About 3 meters or so. It was different then. All the splashing, screaming you ever heard in your life. Someday, you get pushed off. You better know where you're standing. Yes, sir. If you know him, better really know him. That's right. But now we're going into deep water. Deep water. Where it'll make you drown if you're not a good, fatten up Christian. Now notice. How? It's not a matter of saying or taking the scripture to debate, as he says there, which are the unbelievers. Because where we are going into is in deep waters, deep revelation. And there is where one knows where you're standing. Now, there is a part where in who is this Melchizedek, which we will continue talking along that line of what the theophany is. Because by going into those deep waters, you have to know him. You have to know who he is. Now, let us continue here in this subject to avoid getting off this subject too much on that part there. But notice here what our brother William continues saying. He says, therefore, God will have a word to be fulfilled. He will have a messenger for the end time, to whom he will reveal his entire program. And as he reveals things to him, he will be working in the work of the Lord, and God will be supporting him. For it will be Christ in Holy Spirit, as it was in each messenger, in that messenger of the end time, doing the work of the last day, fulfilling his word that he promised for the last day. And at this end time, we have the promise that God will be working in the midst of his church bride. He will also work with the foolish virgins. He will also work with the world. And he will also work with the Hebrew people. Now notice on this message, souls that are in prison now, tells us on page 39. And on that page, he tells us, and notice when the third pull of his ministry come, the first was healing the sick, the second was rebuking the organizations and prophesying what they had done, why they were and what was coming. That's what he done, is that right? But his third pull was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. They were down there where them big painted eyes was. Preached to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. But yet, they had to recognize it, what he was, because God made him there. And there he draws the Star of David. And he writes, there is where he writes, in the third pool, they had to recognize him. They had to recognize him in the first coming, and they had to recognize him in the second coming. In other words, we can say they will have to recognize him. But we speak in present tense. That is, they had to recognize him because that is going to happen. They had to recognize him in the first, and they had to recognize him in the second, because that is already a fact. Wonder if his ministry climbs out the same way in the last days as it was. As the Father sent me, so sent I you. The work that I do shall you also. Lost could never be saved. They have rejected mercy. That was his third pull. Now, what did he spoke to us in the Book of the Seals on page 435 tells us, now the last verse of the sixth seal opened. Those who had laughed at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God, when then prophets had stood there and performed miracles, closed the sun and everything else, and all down through the age. See, they cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. See? To hide them from the word that they had laughed at, because they see him come. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the word. See? They had laughed at the word, and here the word was incarnate. Moses, in other words, a dispensational prophet. And they had made fun of it, laughed at them, made fun of them, and the incarnate word had dropped forth. And he writes, in the angel of Jesus, Moses and Elijah, because it is the manifestation of the angel of the Lord, that is of the Holy Spirit, operating those ministries at this end time. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. So they know that the punishment, they heard it. They had sat in meetings like this and know about it. And they know that the things of those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face, the things that they had rejected. They had spurned mercy for the last time. And there is where he writes, Elijah and Moses, he who receives his message receives mercy. And when you spurn mercy, there is nothing left but judgment. There is nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, just think of it. And there they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said there, they cried to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of the, and he writes, judge, who is sitting upon the throne, and he writes, throne of David. Because the throne of David is his last manifestation. It is as simple as that. Now, that is another subject. Notice how, in his first coming, the throne of mercy was Jesus. And in his second coming, the throne of judgment, he wrote, the angel of Jesus. And who is the angel of Jesus? The ministries of Moses and Elijah, because it is the angel of Jesus operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah. See, there on that throne, it comes to be the judgment throne, which is the throne of David, and the wrath of the Lamb. And he writes, Lion. They tried to repent, but the Lamb had come to claim his own, see? And they cried to the rocks and the mountains, And he wrote there, kingdoms and rulers. Prayed, but the prayers were too late. There is where he says, there was no blood on the mercy seat. He writes, with Elijah and Moses, claim, because those are the ministries that God is operating at this end time, doing the claiming work. But remember that everything has a process. When he came to carry out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross, he did not come then, right away, on that day, and carried out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. He had a process. He was born. He had his childhood. He grew up. Notice, he was baptized. He had his ministry. And then at the end, he carried out the work for which he had come to this planet Earth. And such is the seventh seal. Such is the manifestation of the Son of Man with his angels at this end time. He has to have a trajectory and then an end. So, that claiming work is parallel to the work of redemption. One came to redeem. The other one comes to claim. Now, he continues saying here in Souls That Are in Prison Now on page 39, it says, now, is there any questions? His first pull, he healed the sick. Is that right? His second ministry, he was prophesying. His third ministry was preaching to the eternal lost. The three mountains, so forth, the lost eternal. Noah's ministry, all ministries done the same. Noah preached. That's exactly right. He went into the ark, and when he went into the ark, there were 7 days. And he writes, seven thunders. There were 7 days that nothing happened. Nothing happened, and he writes, in 7 perfect ages. His testimony preached to the doomed. And there he draws a Star of David on the side, and he writes, Silence, Revelation 8, the coming of the Son of Man. Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus referred to both of them as coming. Before the coming of the Son of Man, so shall it be like the days of Noah. So shall it be like it was in the days of Sodom. He referred to Noah. Noah had 3 pulls, and his third was to the lost after the door was shut. For God let it sit right there, where nobody could enter or go out. They were inside. For, as on the seventh mountain, the highest mountain, that's where he settled the ark, mountain. See, that's right. Now notice, that last mountain, which is the seventh mountain, is the third pool. Remember the peaks, the first pool, the second pool, and then it says a high peak, the third pool. Now, our brother William continues saying, therefore, we will see the Holy Spirit moving through the messenger of the last day in the midst of the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll also see the Holy Spirit through that messenger moving in the midst of the churches of the denominational world. Because remember that that denominational world says on page 10a, paragraph 99, that when, let us look it up, when the denominational world begins to receive the message, he says that that's exactly the hour of his coming. He will already be there at that peak stage, it says. The very minute that that outside denominational world begins to receive this message, that's exactly the hour he's coming. When they went, the sleeping virgin realized she didn't have enough oil in her lamp, and when she came to knock on the door to get it, that was exactly when the bride went out, when the wise virgin left. That's right. They didn't get in, nope. And them organizations won't come in. They won't have the opportunity to. Time the message gets around, the church will be gone. See? Now, how will it be impacted? Let us continue here to finish. We will also see the Holy Spirit through that messenger moving in the midst of the world, the political, economic, social, and cultural world. And we will also see Him moving in the midst of the Hebrew people, that is, with the Jews who are in Israel or outside Israel. Now notice that all of that was shown, represented, typified in the different messengers of the ages. Even Brother Branham wanted to go to Israel to convert the Hebrew people. But notice, it was not his time. And he had people who knew him. He had friendships, rabbis as well. And even more closely, as a messenger, our Brother William. He has so many friends from Israel. But notice, he was the closest one. But notice that it is in the dispensation of the kingdom that the Hebrew people, those 144,000, are brought to the kingdom. That is, they are brought into a dispensation which is the dispensation of the kingdom and not into the dispensation of grace. They are not placed in a dispensation that has already passed. In other words, in the dispensation of grace. But rather, they are placed in the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, we have seen what the third pool will be impacting both the bride, that is, the lost, which he tells us on page 119 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1057, where he tells us, we have to wait just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. And then when the time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pool then, see? And it will be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Notice, there are the three groups. And of course, for the Hebrew people. Now we can see, there's a place here as well where he tells us in, I will give you the page on the Book of Quotations where he tells us about this third pool, which will be by speaking the word. Notice, on page 135, it says, paragraph 1206 says, this, the third pool, and it's speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection, the Son of Man. This is so, or it is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon, would you not? Escape all these things. Is going a ditto there, escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man? Now, my dear friend, see, stand before the Son of Man. And atop he writes, the third pool equals speaking the word. And he also writes, to be restored for the rapture in the resurrection. Now notice at everything and different writings there, we have already read that. But notice why the third pool is for the bride, it is for the foolish, and it is for the lost, and for the 144,000. Because the third pool, just as the third pool was back then, which was the preaching for those who no longer had an opportunity for salvation, whom were disobedient during the time of Noah. Jesus preached there in his third pool. See? And in the third pool of the seventh seal, notice, it is what God will be fulfilling through the preaching. See? It will be the spoken word. That is why he writes there, the third pool equals speaking the word. It was speaking the word back then, and it is speaking the word here. Jesus preaching in the fifth dimension. Let us stand and thus leave with us in this subject, Jesus preaching in the fifth dimension, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.